KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
The psychopath Hannibal Lecter in the movie Silence of the Lambs is ruthless, but he's also charming, persuasive, and highly intelligent.
First principles, Clarice. Simplicity. What needs does he serve by killing?
From KUW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde, in for Ross Reynolds. Our guest today says when psychopaths don't turn violent, they can become very successful as CEOs or surgeons. Cambridge professor Kevin Dutton's new book is called The Wisdom of Psychopaths. Kevin Dutton, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Pleasure, David.
So when did you first become interested in psychopaths?
Well, there's two reasons why I wrote the book, actually. First of all, I wanted to debunk the myth that psychopaths are either all mad or bad. And secondly, that being a psychopath is an all or nothing affair. So there's a scientific reason why I wrote the book, and that was them. But also, there was a personal reason why I wrote the book, actually. And it was basically to figure out my own father. I mean, it seems a crazy thing to say, looking back in hindsight, but my own father was a nailed-down psychopath. He wasn't violent. He was actually a market trader. He not the stock market. He sold anything to everyone in street markets. But one of the things which I get across in the book, of course, one of the central messages is that you don't necessarily need to be violent to be a psychopath. My father was ruthless. He was fearless. He was extremely charming. He was completely shameless. I never once saw him embarrassed in his entire life. I mean, he really could have sold anything to anybody. He could have sold, you know, shaving cream to the Taliban. I mean, he was just incredibly persuasive, and so it was really to figure him out, really, was one of the reasons why I wrote it.
How do you know he was a psychopath? What are the characteristics that make a person a psychopath?
A psychopath is, they are ruthless, they are fearless, they are charming, they are mentally tough, they are extremely focused under pressure, but they also don't tend to have any conscience and empathy. I always tell a little story to describe give people a flavour of what my father was like. I remember there was one time when I was 9 or 10 and we were in an Indian restaurant in London, and Dad was just about to pay the bill. And just as he was about to pay the bill, he tinkled a spoon against his glass and stood up and made an impromptu speech. And he said, "I'd just like to thank everyone for coming. I know that some of you have come just around the corner and some of you have come from further afield. But I'd like you to know that you're all equally welcome. Oh, and there's a little reception across the road in the King's Arms pub. And it'd be great to see you there." And with that, he started to clap. As, of course, did the entire restaurant. So you've now got an entire restaurant of strangers who've never seen each other before, who've never seen us before, all applauding wildly because they didn't want to be seen as the gatecrashers to the party. So as we're leaving the restaurant, I remember saying to Dad, "Dad, are you sure we're really going to the pub?" And he says, "No, Kevin, of course we're not going to the pub, but that lot are. And my friend Malcolm has just taken over as landlord. He'll make a few quid tonight." And that's a kind of shameless kind of stuff that he used to get up to. And as I say, you know, didn't bat an eye.
Cambridge professor Kevin Dutton's new book is called The Wisdom of Psychopaths. You also have a friend who was a psychopath or is a psychopath. Can you tell us about him?
I did indeed. I've known this guy since I was actually at junior school, since we were about 5 years old. And he was one of the most persuasive guys who I've ever met. He eventually ended up getting a job with the British Secret Service. No surprises there. But I remember there was one time when he was, I'll give you an example. I mean, we were still very young. We were still at junior school. And he stayed the night over at our house one New Year's Eve. We wanted to stay up late, as all kids do on New Year's Eve, but my mum wasn't having any of it, so she said it's time to go to bed, and, you know, she kept putting a foot down. And I kept remonstrating with her, as, you know, any right-minded 10-year-old would do, with to absolutely no effect whatsoever. At which point, my mum turned around to me and said the final straw was, "You know, Kevin, you know, you can't stay up late. You know what you're like when you stay up late. You get cranky and irritable, and you don't get up until midday the next day." To which my friend suddenly turned around and said, "Well, Mrs. Dutton, you don't want us running around at the crack of dawn while you're lying in bed with a headache, do you?" Now, this was, you know, a 10-year-old kid saying this. Not surprising he eventually ended up getting a job with the British Secret Service, although what he does for them now I have absolutely no idea. But
Cambridge psychology professor Kevin Dutton is with us talking about his new book. It's called The Wisdom of Psychopaths. So that brings us to the question of violence, which is something that people, of course, normally associate with psychopaths. And you say it doesn't always apply.
You know, David, it's absolutely true, isn't it? You know, whenever the word psychopath comes out, we instantly think of people like Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, all these kinds of, you know, serial killers or, you know, just creeping across the badlands of our minds. But actually, psychopaths aren't necessarily violent. Now, if you've got those personality characteristics that I was telling you about just a few minutes ago, if you're ruthless, you're fearless, you're charming, mentally tough, focused, et cetera, lack of conscience and empathy, and you are violent, and let's throw another one into the works. Let's say you are stupid. You are low in intelligence. Then to be perfectly honest, my friend, your prospects aren't going to be that great. You are going to end up as a low-level thug or an enforcer for a criminal gang. You're going to put a bottle over someone's head in a pub. Either way, you're going to wind up in prison pretty quickly. But here's the deal. If you have those kind of characteristics I was talking to you about earlier, and you are not naturally violent, and you are intelligent, you get a good school, go to a good school and get a good education, then you're more likely, as the famous Reuters headline once put it, you're more likely going to make a killing in the market than anywhere else.
The book is The Wisdom of Psychopaths, and he's Cambridge professor of psychology, Kevin Dutton. So what are some examples of some of the really high-functioning, intelligent, not violent psychopaths that you interviewed for the book?
Well, in 2011, let me just give you a bit of background on that, David. In 2011, I launched something called the Great British Psychopath Survey. Now, the survey is unique in the sense that it measures psychopathic traits across an entire national workforce. Now, participants were directed onto my website where they completed a psychometrically validated questionnaire which gives people feedback on their psychopathic characteristics. But that wasn't all. They also entered their employment details. So what would turn out to be the UK's most psychopathic profession? That's what I wanted to know. Now, the results, I have to say, were a real eye-opener. Now, CEOs were up there at number one, perhaps no surprise there. I don't want to scare any of your listeners, but media folk, especially radio and TV, were also number two. There's a few knowing looks going around the studios here, folks. Number three were lawyers, no surprises there either. Then you had surgeons. They were also up there, but perhaps, in hindsight, which was quite a shocker, were clerics. They were in there at number seven or eight, if my memory serves me right. But when you think about it, perhaps not too much of a shocker, because any kind of situation, any kind of profession where you've got an organizational hierarchy, where you've got a kind of a professional ladder, psychopaths do very well in those kind of situations, anywhere where they can wield control over other people, where they can manipulate. And the church is just like, in a sense, just like a business like any other. So perhaps not too much of a surprise there.
Kevin Dutton's book is The Wisdom of Psychopaths. So in some ways, this is a book about psychopaths, a factual book about psychopaths. In some ways, it's a bit of a self-help book.
Oh, it is. There is a chapter in the book in which I interview what I call hole-in-one psychopaths. These are, you know, psychopathic killers. And I present everyday moral dilemmas to them and just get their take on it. And, you know, psychopaths do have personality characteristics which really can predispose the rest of us to success in everyday life. They are, for instance, they are assertive. They don't procrastinate. They don't take things personally. They don't beat themselves up when things go wrong. They are very cool under pressure. And so, you know, things like these kind of characteristics, we can all benefit from in everyday life. Let's give an example. Let's say that, you want to go for a raise. Now, most people, that's very scary. You know, when they think about putting in for a raise, they're more focused on what their boss might think of them if they do that, what their fellow employees might think of them, what happens if they don't get it, will they lose face? Well, actually, you know, psychopaths, we know, just do not focus on the negatives. They are absolutely reward driven. They focus completely on the positive. So one bit of advice, if you want to go for a raise, psychopath up. You know, don't think about not getting it. Think about the benefits of getting it. And of course, that makes you more confident and that makes you more likely to actually get it.
Kevin Dutton's book is The Wisdom of Psychopaths. These are the characteristics of psychopaths, but how are you able to kind of scientifically identify people that are psychopaths? What are some of the tests that psychologists use to try to identify psychopaths?
Great question, David. There's actually two kinds of tests. Mostly we use questionnaire-based measures. So within clinical settings, within forensic settings, the kind of test of choice for most clinicians is something called the psychopathy checklist. The psychopathy checklist was designed predominantly for use within clinical settings and on its 40-point scale. Most normal members of the general population, like you or I, typically register around one or two, whereas the entry level for psychopaths is generally considered to be 30. However, if we're looking at a more nuanced detector of psychopathic traits, we're looking at psychopathic traits not within the clinical population, such as your Hannibal Lecters or your Ted Bundys, but looking at psychopathic characteristics within the general population, we have something called the Psychopathic Personality Inventory, which is a more nuanced detector.
Inventory, sorry, folks.
I forgot I was in America there. Which is a more nuanced detector of psychopathic characteristics. And, you know, that's something which we hand out for the general population. Now, an analogy which I think is really important to get across here is that, as I was saying at the top of the interview, psychopathic characteristics are not black or white. If you think of psychopathic characteristics as being the dials on a studio mixing desk, like the sliders on a graphic equalizer. Now, here's the deal. If you turn those dials, all of them up to max, like ruthlessness, fearlessness, lack of conscience and empathy, mental toughness, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out where that one's heading. You're gonna overload the circuit, and you know, you're going to wind up getting 30 years inside. But if you turn some of them up high, and some of them down low, depending on the circumstances, become, I suppose you could say, a method psychopath in the same way as you might be a method actor, then you're going to have a personality combination which might predispose you to success in certain professions.
What percentage of the population, then, are psychopaths?
About 0.5 to 2.5% is the general estimate of the general population at large. There is evidence to suggest that psychopathy is more prevalent within males than females. Within females, it varies between a quarter to three quarters of a percent. But generally speaking, it's between half and 2.5% of the general population. But I do have to say, it is rare. It is, you know, to get what I call a hole-in-one psychopath. You know, you're talking about your Ted Bundys, your guys who are way, way ahead at the top of the leaderboard. These guys are very rare. You know, so as I say, these characteristics that make up the psychopathic personality are just like height, weight, IQ. They're normally distributed across the general population as a whole. And some of them are, some of us are really at the sharp end, and some of us are, most of us are in the middle at some point.
Kevin Dutton, you mentioned earlier some of the professions that lend themselves to having more psychopaths in them. What are some examples of famous people who you suspect might be psychopaths?
Well, a lot of famous people are rather litigious people, David. So I'm not going to go on air and actually start naming names, especially when you've got an American election going on right now. But there is evidence to suggest that you know, across the board in professions like politics, in professions like surgery, in professions like the military. I've interviewed a lot of special forces soldiers who, unsurprisingly, are very far along the psychopathic spectrum. They have to be ruthless. They have to be fearless, they have to be mentally tough and focused and all those things. But coming back to politics, I mean, one senior British politician who shall obviously be nameless because I want you to stay on the air after I've left the building, actually turned round to me and said, you know, in politics, the only way to know who's stabbing you in the back is to see their reflection in the eyes of the person stabbing you from the front. And I think that is actually a pretty good kind of description of what politics is like across the board. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if, you know, a number of high-profile politicians are very high on the psychopathic spectrum, you know, as I say, in a hell of a lot of countries.
So when are some situations where you actually want a psychopath in your life?
I think situations where your backs are against the wall, where you need to be very cool under pressure, where you need to be decisive, and where you need to take action where you don't particularly dwell on it at the time. I think those are situations where psychopaths are very good. They're very good in knife-edge situations when, you know, absolutely, you know, hesitating or dithering or taking time to make up your mind might actually cost you dearly. So that they're situations in which psychopaths are very good, and where we can all kind of work on our psychopath muscle, in a sense, to benefit us all in those kind of situations.
Kevin Dutton's book is The Wisdom of Psychopaths. Do psychopaths make good managers?
They can make good managers. What you often, again, it depends how high those dials on the mixing desk are turned up. If they're turned up too high, they can make very bad managers. There is a kind of an optimum level at which perhaps psychopathy can manifest itself in corporate leaders. And in fact, Canadian psychologist Robert Hare and American industrial psychologist Paul Babiak are working on a questionnaire which measures precisely that. And they're trying to assess whether there is an optimal level of psychopathy within corporate leaders and business leaders. What I can tell you is that Robert Hare is at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, not too far from here, actually handed out his psychopathy questionnaire to over 200 top US business executives and compared the prevalence of psychopathic traits within the corporate community to that found within the general population at large. And the results, David, to say the least, were a real eye-opener. Not only did the execs come out on top, but psychopathy was positively associated with in-house ratings of charisma and presentation style, with creativity, good strategic thinking, and communication skill. So, you know, there are certain psychopathic characteristics which can predispose you to success in business. The problem is when they get out of control. And we've seen that to a certain extent with the global financial crisis.
You mentioned at the beginning that your father was a psychopath. What are the disadvantages and advantages, perhaps, of having a parent who's a psychopath or has some of the characteristics of a psychopath?
Well, I think that what that kind of question is suggesting is you know, a deeper level is perhaps, you know, what's the genetic component to that and what's the environmental factors. I think that there is a genetic component to psychopathy, and you know, the fact that the very fact that I'm sitting here talking to you now is kind of proof that luckily genes aren't everything. Although I would say that if I was a nailed down psychopath, wouldn't I?
You did lock the door to the studio coming in. I'm just going to.
I did, but. I think that, you know, whether you turn out to be a psychopath or not is dependent on not just your genes, and there is evidence that there's a 50% genetic component, but also the environment in which you grow up in. Now, luckily, I didn't grow up in an abusive environment. As I say, my father wasn't violent, and my mother was a rather strict Irish Catholic disciplinarian who kind of had you know, the conscience for all of us put together. So that, you know, she had too much of a conscience, I think, and that kind of counterbalanced my dad's lack of conscience and his devil may care attitude. But there's evidence to suggest that if you do have the psychopath gene, let's say it like that, and it's not as simple as that, folks. There's a whole network of genes which are probably involved here, and you have an abusive childhood. Then that can tip you over the edge into developing psychopathy. It's a little bit like, I always use an analogy of having a book on a library shelf. Now imagine that your genes are the text in that book. That's the information. Well, if that book's never opened, that information will never become live. It will never have an impact in everyday life. However, if somebody comes and opens that book and reads it, in other words, that's the environment triggering those genes, then that's a different ball game altogether. So you need to have that kind of genetic predisposition. You also need to have the environmental triggers to kind of unlock it. I probably have some of my dad's characteristics. I'm you know, not much phases me. I'm pretty focused when I have to be. But I've got too much of a conscience. That's what lets me down.
Kevin Dutton, thanks so much for being here.
It's an absolute pleasure, David. Anytime.
Kevin Dutton's book is The Wisdom of Psychopaths from KUOW. 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.